Good morning, friends. May the face of the Lord shine upon us with grace and truth. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Those words which we find written in the Word of God, what a comfort they are when someone is taken away from you. To all those who are in the vehicles, and even in, if you're listening in your homes or online later, may the richest blessings of God fill your heart. We welcome you here. Friday morning, a few minutes after 7, my phone rang, and it's the home again. I answered, and this was a distraught lady on the other end. Your mom had another fall. And she's unconscious. Should we phone 911? Oh, what do you do? Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Didn't take long. Another call. Another nurse. I think she's gone. Mother, I thought of that when we sang that last verse, because he lives, then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. That was Mom. Mom battled through a lot of things. But this morning, I just want to encourage each one of us. Let's focus upon the things that are eternal. That's my greatest comfort. Our family, too. That we can, at this time, know that she is in a better place. Jake and Maria, I know now how you feel. I know how others felt when they lost their mother. And yet, it's so precious. What a precious soul. You remember all those things she did for you. I think the thing that I will remember most is the last look she gave me. We were able to see her in the home there almost 2 weeks ago. Just our parting, gave her a couple of hugs. We told each other we loved each other, and she didn't understand why you have to go now. She wanted to come with us, and bye, Mom, love you. She's crossed that river. And so now our faith faces a challenge. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know she lives. And what a blessing to know that her last words were, is it time to go? There was a time for her to go. I rest in that comfort. And I'm so glad she went. Now she can be with Dad, but most of all, she can be with Christ. We can look into the future because I know he holds the future. Life is worth living because he lives. Thank you for all your concern, your support, your prayers. I really appreciate that. Didn't come here to preach a message about the death and resurrection of Christ and the saints, but it is so near to my heart here, I just felt I had to say a few words. Thank you very much for all your support. This morning I want to focus on Psalm 27 for a bit. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Psalm 27. Now, the backdrop to this psalm is a man in trouble. Are you in trouble? Have you felt troubled lately? Here is an antidote to trouble. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the grace and the truth which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, that we can be partakers of your divine nature, we thank you for that this morning, that we may know you, the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. Lord, this morning I pray that you would minister to each one. Lord, if need be, let your words tingle in our ears. Lord, may your word cut and divide, strengthen and renew our hearts here this morning. And Lord, I do pray that you would cut into our hearts so deep that we would be convicted and enlightened, that our hearts would be stirred from such deadness, that we would seek the living God. Lord, minister to each one. This morning we pray in Jesus' name, amen. What a beautiful verse this psalm starts out with. Here's a man who is in trouble. He has enemies. This is speaking of you and me, my friend. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Hebrew rabbis equate light with wisdom, and they are dead on. The wisdom of God comes as a light into our hearts, into our minds. When your mind and heart is enlightened in the Word of God, it's God's wisdom being poured into your heart. You understand it. And I'm sure every Christian has this experience. Something just lights up. You read God's word and it just, wow. It's God's light shining into your heart. It's one of the most precious things. My mother loved the display of light, sunsets, sunrises, rainbows. We all do, right? She loved nature. And so do I. And we look at sunsets, and they're always different. We look at how light plays on the water, how the moon shines on the river. What a beautiful display. Light is always positive. This morning I want to ask you, how are you doing spiritually? You know, as a shepherd, I just feel the last 10 months, we haven't had enough contact with each other. We all know there's part of the response to COVID has been from the enemy. We all know that. There's no skirting the truth. My poor dear mother had to be so isolated that we saw her rarely. That was not a good thing. So often. It just bothered you. Drive by the home and I can't even go in there. Oh, one visitor, one time a week, and just for an hour or whatever it was. Well, I'm not here to criticize the darkness, but to build us up in the light. And we need to realize the enemy is out there to destroy you and me. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have an abundance of life. John 10:10. And so we need to see that there are enemies out there in the spiritual realm that are set to destroy and to kill and to steal from us. These are wicked spirits. If you do not recognize the battle between this in the spiritual realm between the good and the evil, you will not understand what is happening in the world today. Simple as that. And there are Christians who don't even believe in, I think they're Christians, they don't even believe in the devil. Incredible to me. They don't want to hear anything about the evil works of darkness. No, don't talk about the devil. Even some missionaries. No, we shouldn't talk about the devil. But you need to know the wiles, strategies of the devil to be able to counteract or counter his doings in your life. You need to know how the devil works. And here we have, in this psalm, we have a man who has enemies. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He was confident in that God would carry him through, that even through the midst of this dark valley that he went through, even war should rise against him, he would have the light of Christ. And I am sure a lot of you, within the sound of my voice, have felt like you were in a war these last 10 months. Life has changed, and we should not skirt the issues. The important part is that we keep our eyes upon the goal, upon the Lord. The Lord is my light. And what a difference it makes. You know, there are studies done. I think statisticians or pollsters have questioned. They just polled a whole bunch of people. How is your mental and emotional state since all this COVID came about? There was only one group that improved or was, I believe, was the same or better. That was the Bible-believing Christian. Friends, there is a lot of despair and discouragement out there. Life is not the way it was. And the people that do not know God look into the world and some of them don't want to live anymore. Many have committed suicide. As a Christian, where do you find your strength? I actually want you to answer this question. How are you doing spiritually? I sometimes ask that different people whenever I'm led. How are you doing? I asked my dear mother that before Christmas. I wanted to know. She had an episode where she blacked out and just about died. They thought she might have been gone, but she came back. I went to visit her in the hospital. How are you doing spiritually? Are you ready to go? Well, this was one of those mother-son moments. She put me in my place. Well, she looked at me. Are you, like, is something wrong with your head? And of course. It's good between me and the Lord. Well, that's all I wanted to know. My mother was a private person, and I understand that people are very cautious and private with their spiritual lives. But sometimes as a pastor, and this is where I'm coming from this morning, I'm really actually interested in your spiritual development. How are you doing? I asked one man that, and immediately he felt convicted. Actually, I've had a few of them. Well, not really living 100% for the Lord right now. But that question opened up a door. Let's talk about it. Is this okay? Let's pray about it. And as a pastor, this is one of my chief concerns for you, even and for myself too, is where are you at spiritually? I honestly mean this. I don't want to appear careless, and sometimes I say things that are taken the wrong way, but I'm not too concerned about what you own, what you have physically, but I want to know, where are you spiritually? Are you growing? Are you going on with the Lord? Is God your light? In the quiet times when you wake up in the night, is God your salvation? Are you full of fear and anxiety? Does guilt rob you of peace? God wants to work in your life. He really does. Now, each one of us is on a path, a spiritual path, where we need light to see where we step. God is my light, and He is my salvation. That word salvation is a beautiful word. It comes from the Hebrew word Yesha, Yeshua, Joshua. God is my salvation. Salvation in the Hebrew has different connotations. It means safety, welfare, victory, deliverance. Yesha is actually, in the Hebrew form, is the word Jesus Christ. In the Greek. So every time you are naming the name of Jesus, you are calling upon Him to deliver you, to save you. Jesus. I remember one vivid dream I had. Years ago, I was praying by my bed. And it was almost so real, I don't even know if it was, I don't know if it was a vision, nothing. I don't know. That was so vivid that I saw a storm coming from the southwest. And all, I was afraid. Here's a young man, I don't want to be afraid. I want to be tough. I was scared. I didn't know why. Here's this storm, and I could see the billowing clouds of dust in front of it. And just a wall of water coming. Somewhat like a severe thunderstorm. For some reason, I was very afraid. All I knew to do was say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. All that will call upon His name shall be saved. You know, friends, I don't know if that was a prophetic dream or what I saw there, but I wonder if we are not entering. If that was meant to be prophetic, I knew that right in front of that storm were dust clouds. They were rolling, and then you don't see much in a dust cloud. I believe that is where we are headed as a church into the future. There are some who have this Kingdom Now theology, and I think it's also called Reconstructionism, where they believe that the church will grow and grow and grow until it fills the earth and takes over all political, religious systems. Friends, let's be real. That is not going to happen. The church will face much tribulation and trials in the future. And, you know, the last 10 months have almost just reinforced some of the things that I see in the book of Revelation. And I love that book, where Satan will be cast to the earth, Revelation 12. There will be a time of trouble such as never was. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Michael the archangel stands still, is what the Hebrew means. It says right after Michael the archangel, I believe he's the restraining force of the forces of evil mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When he stands still, then there will be a time of trouble such as never was. Perfectly corresponding with Revelation 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We need to be prepared, my friend. Do not think that you will not suffer persecution and tribulation. They did that to Christ. They hated him. They will hate you too. See, this is why, because men love darkness instead of light. And we need to realize that as Christians, as sheep, we are so much like sheep. We need God's salvation and his strength. David was in a dire straits here. His enemies around him. Here is his prayer of confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who was he focusing on? He wasn't focused upon the problems of the world. All the evil that is taking place in abortion clinics and even in the land of liberal theology. He was focused upon God. He blocked that out. He focused upon what was important, the spiritual aspect. This is why we need to, as Christians, focus upon the spiritual aspect. Instead of having our eyes upon the world, we have it on Christ and where he sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3. See, do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to have peace in the time of trouble? Do you want to glorify God? Then God has to be your light and salvation. I know many of you have struggles. This isolation is not good for you. You're alone too much. What do you do? Where do you focus on? What are you focused upon? See, as a church, we need to get together. We need to see each other. Because we help each other along. We encourage each other. And sometimes we can be a catalyst for somebody else's spiritual growth. And the church is meant to see each other face to face, not virtually. Virtually, that is something that I believe the enemy is trying to wean us away from these personal relationships and just rely on this device. And it has a certain amount of importance in our lives, but not like getting together face to face. Even in our homes. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Friends, this is where the rubber hits the road. What will you do when the trials and tribulations of this world come upon you? Will you stand or will you faint? See, in verse 13, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said he would have given up if he would not have believed, had faith to see God's goodness. Friends, no matter how dark it is around you, no matter what is happening in your life, if you set your eyes upon Christ and the light and salvation that he gives, then you will have new strength to go on. See, it's God that gives you strength. And this is a tremendous secret in the Christian's life. This is where the unbeliever today is falling and failing because he does not have strength. He sees the world is, and it's going to get worse. He sees the world falling apart. It's not as good as it used to be. He faints because there is no strength. But here's a man who believed in God's goodness. That goodness would see him through that one day he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I want to say this morning, you can have a table set before you in the presence of your enemies. The same man who wrote this wrote Psalm 23, David. He says, "Thou preparest for me a table in the presence of mine enemies." And I want you to understand this morning that you have enemies all around you, but you do not have to fear. The spiritual aspect and the spiritual warfare that we need to be involved in is something that is only won through the Word and by the Spirit. God's Word can be a tremendous strength in your life. And just the way Jesus quoted Scripture when he was tempted, you must also quote Scripture. I really believe in this principle in the Word of God. When the devil comes and tempts you and slanders you and makes you fearful, what do? You must follow Christ's example. It is written. So many times in the morning, I think of this verse. I don't know how this day is going to go. Oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. Oh, I didn't wish we didn't have that job. And then this verse comes to my mind. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And oh, I got to face this person. I got to talk to that guy. Different situations, not always very nice situations. And then I quote this verse, "The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" And it totally changes the day. Friend, no matter what kind of trouble you are in, you do not have to fear. A spirit of fear has been released upon the world to be so afraid of something you cannot see. It's kind of interesting to me. The very ones who do not believe in God because they cannot see him believe in a virus that they can't see either. And they have more faith in this virus than they have in God. That's not really faith, it's fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. It's faith in the wrong thing. The Bible calls it a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Then this is what fear does. It takes away your love, takes away your power, it takes away your sound mind. God is just the opposite. Satan means to destroy people through fear. Fear is a torment, John said in 1 John 4. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. This is the value of knowing the love of Christ. As you immerse yourself and keep yourself in the love of Christ, fear vanishes. And I mean vanishes. You do not have to be afraid of the devil or anything that is coming against you. Here's a man who understood this concept. This is why I keep saying renew your mind, because our minds will automatically go into the fleshly mode, and that is not good. We follow Hollywood and all its vices and the way they think. We cannot think like them because it is the way of destruction. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Verse 20, the works of the flesh are hatred and variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How can you insulate yourself from the flesh? It is by renewing your mind and being conformed to the image of Christ instead of to the world. And this is why it is so key to renew your mind. And that's quite a few different aspects in renewing your mind. One is waiting upon the Lord. It's waiting upon his goodness. It's focusing upon him. That means a quiet time where you just think on God's word. So often when we try to meditate, our minds drift. But you can help that by focusing upon a verse, verses. One of those verses is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Sometimes I've been afraid to talk to a person because what's that guy going to say? Or there's a situation at work. How do I deal with this? And then I say, "Lord, you are my strength, my life. Give me wisdom here. Give me light." And the Lord provides. In verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." See, here's a man who has the desire to be rich or to be famous is not one of his priorities. One thing he desires. He's probably tasted a lot of things already in life. He's come to the conclusion that I don't want anything else except to dwell in the house of the Lord, to be near him, to walk with him, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And I kind of identify with this verse. You know, when I was a younger man, the old Wild West was something that I was really of an interest to me. The way the West, and of course more so in the U.S., was settled, and you had these rugged mountain men going out into the wild and just exploring everything. That then what's beyond the next peak? They were seeking and they were looking. Well, what's all out there? And, you know, that's kind of the way. And that's kind of almost in a shadow, a way that we can also view Scripture. I know it's a poor example, but it is kind of like it. For me, an inspiration and a zeal is to, what does the Lord speak about the future? What does he speak about this? What does he speak about that? To inquire in the temple. To try to understand his word in a deeper way. And you know, there's this thing about a person. We want to always have something new in our life. And the knowledge of the Lord is one of the most precious things that you will find. And I equate that with the old Western men that went out and they had to search for different ways where the railroad went through, or maybe look for a town site or whatever. Or they were just drifting. I wonder sometimes if I was born in that age, I might have been one of them. Just the beauty of the wilderness. See what's beyond the next rise. But if we can put that zeal and inspiration towards seeking out God, seeking his face, and finding beautiful treasures in the Word of God, something that speaks to you, something that's new. You know, God will enlighten us. This is what I love about God's word. It's always new. And he says, "Wait on the Lord." Verse 14, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Here, I think, is the key to David's strength from God. He spent time waiting upon God. Just soaking in the Word of God, just meditating upon the Word of God. And you could do a whole message on meditating God's Word. You've probably heard it. So a message on that. But how it ministers to the heart. As the Word of God, and remember, everything's through the Word and by the Spirit. As the Word of God enters your heart, and the Spirit of God gives it life, It is life to you. It's light. The Lord is my light. In one of the most precious prayers that Paul prayed is found in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 17, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? So that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Here is God working in the lives of believers. Paul's prayer was for the Ephesians that God would enlighten their eyes, spiritual eyes. This is what we need, my friend. God giving us light. When your eyes are enlightened, and we're talking spiritual eyes, then you start knowing beautiful things. It opens up a new vista of exploration. And it's so much like the old Western world. These men that went out to explore, the sense of adventure. I see that sometimes, and I know it's maybe not the best example, but to me it's so profoundly inspiring to have your eyes enlightened on spiritual things. To see things differently than the world. The world sees it one way. We are not supposed to be conformed to the world. We have a new vista, a spiritual sight that allows us to see the wisdom and the plans of God. And he says that God would enlighten their eyes, giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, this is another, actually, definition of having your eyes enlightened is revelation. Sometimes revelation comes. And for each one of us, it's probably a little different, but we have needs. And we read God's word, and God just, as you wait upon the Lord, all of a sudden he opens up. It could be just half a verse. One phrase, maybe one verse, just speaks to you so intimately, so deeply. Last time I was here, I spoke about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I spoke about this, the man who was just talking in a monotone, he was just teaching. He says that truth has the power to set you free. It's like leaves falling off a dead tree, new life coming. The truth is like new life coming into your life. It sets you free from those old fleshly leaves that need to fall off. It's powerful. And Paul knew this. He knew that once your eyes see spiritual realities, your life changes. I maintain that it is impossible to be depressed and negative. Once you start realizing, once God's light shines into your heart, it's impossible to see your future as dark. It starts brightening up. You start walking in the knowledge of God, and it's incredible how it changes you. I've seen that change. I've said this before in my brother. And it comes from waiting upon the Lord and renewing your mind in who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. That includes the hope of your calling. That's your future. What God wants to do in your life. He wants to work a certain thing, the calling of God in your life, where you do his will and you do what he has purposed for you, and you fulfill that calling so that you may glorify him for eternity. And along with that is an indescribable joy of knowing that you have helped someone else. See, we need to have eyes like this, eyes that see like God does. So that you would know, here's that Greek word again, ginosko, I talked about it last time I was here, that you may know, not just with your head, but your heart. You may fully know what is your calling, your future, the hope of your calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So no longer are you focused upon all the darkness and the emptiness and vanity of this life. You are focusing upon something that is eternal. His riches. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And it starts to enlighten your eyes, and you will start looking at this with a newfound sense of wonder. No wonder his name is called Wonderful. It fills us with the awe and the majesty of him working in our life, something that will last forever. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Friends, we need to have these eyes that can see this. So often, I'm just such a miserable person. I'm just nothing. That is good in a sense. But some people just stay there. You can't stay there. Yes, our flesh needs to say that, and we need to bow before the cross, and we need to die at the foot of the cross. And then you must say, but I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. He gives me the power to live a new life. And this is a secret of a Christian life. You must exchange your old life and your old weaknesses, your old failures, your own works, your own righteousness, for the things of Christ. And then you can walk in newness of life. See, these are the new vistas. If you ever want to go have an adventure and go exploring like the old mountain men of old, you do that with the spiritual realm. It's way better than what they ever experienced. Here you can grow to be like Christ. You can have the purpose of God fulfilled in you. See, the evolutionist has a problem here. He doesn't know the hope of his calling. He looks into the future. Well, there's nothing. After death, there's nothing. Because we came from a slug that crawled out of the water. There's no future. His destiny is nothing. No rewards, no punishment, nothing. Better just enjoy your life as much as possible here, and then it's over. What kind of life is that? Just meaningless. Everything revolves around you, what you know about Christ. Christ is your creator, and he has originated you in the womb of the Father and the Spirit. You come from him originally. This is where you have your origin, in God. And God wants to fill your life with purpose and meaning. If you get your origin wrong, if you don't acknowledge Christ as your creator, you are lost. It's darkness. And it's just amazing to me how the devil can deceive the world, and even Christians, with his lies. See, the opposite of truth is lies. Everybody believes something. You either believe the truth or you believe a lie. Sometimes the truth is kind of mixed up with a lie, but it ends up being a total lie. And what you believe is what will guide you into the future. If you don't believe that God has a sense of morality, and that this is God's word speaking to you, your morality will be totally wrong. You will just justify yourself, whatever you do, and that's right for you. And often, it won't be too much different than Hollywood. We need God's word to guide us and to give us light. And this is what God's word does so often. I need to close here. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I just want to really stress that this morning. In Revelation chapter 12, we see a war in heaven. I love the book of Revelation. If there's any book in the New Testament that I would like to have my eyes enlightened, and I pray so often, Lord, enlighten my eyes. It's a book of Revelation. The Old Testament, I would love to know everything about Isaiah. New Testament, Revelation. And this book has blessed me through the years. Here is a war in heaven. We don't have time to read it all. Verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which was brought forth, which brought forth the man-child. Thus far. Now here's a war in heaven. Now it's my view that the Revelation 12 is one of the keys in understanding all of future events. You understand the different players, the woman, the man-child, the dragon, and you see the sequence of events here, you will understand a lot of future events. That's my take on it. And it also mentions this war in heaven. This war in heaven, I believe, is future, because of what happens in the heavenlies. It says the great dragon, verse 9, was cast out. Now some say this happened in ages past. That's the preterist view. But let's just notice what happens here. That old dragon was cast out, verse 9, the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, we don't understand all of this, what's happening in the heavenlies, but this is what happens right after this war, when Satan is cast out. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now the preterist view does not seem to quite fit this, because right after this war in heaven, right after Satan is thrown to the earth, he knows he has a short time. And there are great voices, or a voice in heaven that says, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God. And I know a lot of people say, oh, how does that work? I always thought this was in the beginning when Satan rebelled and he was thrown out. Well, we don't have time to go into that. But when this happens, the devil has great wrath. There's a voice in heaven that says, verse 12, Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which was brought forth a man-child. The woman, most scholars agree, is Israel, the Jews. See, when the devil sees that he's cast unto the earth, he persecutes the woman. See, the woman is there already. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, which she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, verse 14, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. But just to understand this, here is Satan. He is called the accuser of our brethren. And even today, I believe, and I know it's maybe difficult for some to understand, but he is the accuser of the brethren. He actually even accuses us before God day and night, it says. The brethren, that's us. He tries to make us feel guilty or unworthy and fearful. This is the working of our enemy, the dragon. And one day that will end, that accusing. But till that time, you need the strength and the power of God. You need the revelation of God to overcome this enemy. You are surrounded by even evil forces, and yet the angels of God protect the righteous. But I want you to know, though, that you are not immune to the attacks of the enemy. And this is where some Christians just fail and faint. They forget the goodness of God in the land of the living. And their focus is upon just their problems and their hardships, negative things. And Satan will try to do that to you, to us. And we need to have the knowledge of God that enlightens our eyes to the hope of his calling and the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints. And he will, not only does he accuse you before our God day and night, he accuses you. He'll come to you and, oh, you committed that sin. Some have committed various sexual sins. They cannot get the victory over them. These are very deep problems. I know that. How do you overcome the guilt of your past? Only through the blood of Christ. Only through renewing your mind. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It is Christ who is my righteousness, not my own. I want to say this. If Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. You need to tell Satan to get thee hence. All throughout Scripture, there is this war between good and evil. If you want to know what's happening in the world today, you just look. You see it in the eyes, through the eyes of Christ. When your eyes are enlightened, you see the forces of good and evil working. And you know why some things are going the way they are. And the day will come, my friend, and I want to warn the church here. This is my view. You can do with it what you want. Call it my opinion. But I believe the Word of God says we will enter a time of trouble such as never was. You better be ready. You're going to need the power of God. You're going to need God as your strength and your light and your salvation to get through these times. So now is the time to be built up spiritually and to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that you will not be deceived. In 2 Thessalonians, it speaks about the devil coming, and I believe it's right at this point where he is cast to the earth, that he goes forth and he actually possesses the Antichrist, gives him all his power. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Here again is a certain group of people that loved not the truth. And what happens? Satan comes along with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and he fools them, deceives them, and they perish. Friends, you want to be real? You have to realize there are people living on this earth who are destined for hell if they do not repent. It could be your friends. It could be your neighbor. It could be your family. They are destined to a life in the lake of fire if they do not repent. And my calling and your calling is to be a light to them. However that might be, but God will give you the grace and the strength to be that light, to be a witness of his grace, and to speak a timely word that they might be saved. But most of all, that you would pray. You have someone that is on your heart, and I just want to close with that. My mother, my dear mother, I don't know if she thought she had no other ministry except to pray. So often she would say, oh, Akbed Zosiah Fadai and Fadim. I think that's the most powerful thing we can do for someone. Lord, enlighten the eyes of their understanding. Give them eyes to see their future without you and with you. I would encourage each one of you, if you pray that way. I know you do. But let this encourage you. Ask God to bless others like Paul prayed for the Ephesians. The eyes of their understanding enlightened that they would know We can pray that for our church, to know the hope of his calling, the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Friends, then you will get excited about the Christian faith. So often we lose it. And I, even as a pastor, I have to admit, Lord, forgive me. Too often I'm a little too busy. Oh, I got to do this, got to do that. And yeah, I know sometimes your life is just too busy and you forget some of these things. But you can always come back and renew your mind. And sometimes it only takes like 20 minutes. And God gives you the light and salvation of Christ. Friends, let us in every way try to order our life that we follow this. The eyes of understanding being enlightened. Waiting upon the Lord till he renews our strength. This is what will help you live a different life. You don't have to be conformed to the world, but you can live a life that is positive, full of zeal, even in a time of trouble such as we have had. But let us be ready for even more, because the days are evil. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, in your word, you have many warnings to the Christians. Many. Do not be deceived. Oh Lord, may we not be deceived in this time of trouble, this time of isolation, that we don't need others, that we don't need the church. Lord, put a new zeal in our hearts. Lord, I pray above all that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of your calling and the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Lord, give us eyes to see these things. Spiritual eyes that will bring us back into a beautiful relationship with you, that we would know the truth, that the truth would set us free. Lord, work in your church even now, even in this time where we are more isolated from each other. But Lord, do a work in us and through us that will bring glory and honor to you, that we will overcome the power of the enemy and shine the light of your love into the world. This we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Help me. Divine, cast out my fear.
Thank you, men. What a beautiful fitting song to close this service. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. When that happens, you are renewed spiritually. And this is what we all need. Time and time again, we need to have our hearts renewed, our minds renewed. But through your mind, your heart is renewed. And as you wait upon the Lord, he gives you good courage. David found that out time and time again. He had his enemies, so do we. But when you base your life upon the way Christ sees, you look with the eyes of Christ, you see a whole new vista of truth, reality that will inspire you. And once people see this, life is not the same. You enter into a new spiritual walk with Christ. And you're not in darkness. You walk in the light as he is in the light. This is the beauty of the Christian life, my friend. We can walk with Christ, who is the life. Thank you for coming and taking part in this service. It's been so great to see your face here. I wish the whole church was full. But for today, it is good to have seen you here. May God's grace be with you. Let's bow for the benediction. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. Amen.